Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson in Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are going to be taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. I swear we're going to do this in April, but we have so much crap to get to. We have free agency. We have tampering. They took from us. We took from them. The Steelers took from us. Luke Jones joins us now. We're not even to like the start yet, right? Like all the fireworks happen beginning Monday morning and then Monday afternoon and then Tuesday morning. And then by the time like it rolls around that they actually start free agency, we all sort of know where everybody's going to be sitting, which makes the new world more interesting from your reportorial side.
Yeah, it does. And while we're still going to find out some stuff at the 4 p.m. deadline, cuts around the league, potential trades. I mean, there have been some trades around the league that have been reported. They haven't been made official, but inevitably, if we looked in recent years, you'll find some trades. So yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if there's something along those lines, even for the Ravens. Not that I've heard specifically, but you have to be prepared for anything. But in terms of the free agent movement itself, the first couple days, the first couple waves, yeah, you get to the official start Wednesday, 4 p.m., and there's inevitably a few jokes about, you know, you'll see a video posted of the tumbleweed, you know, just kind of rolling down the road. Lots going on, and cue up the inevitable king for a queen, bad jokes and puns and cliches as it pertains to the Ravens. Patrick Queen out, Derrick Henry in, and just you know, very exciting on that front, very interesting on both fronts, quite frankly. And as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, Ravens fans not happy to see someone defect to the Steelers, and I think you know, from a WWE standpoint, from a pro
you're
wrestling
dead to
standpoint,
us is what Tiki Barber would say, right?
Yeah, sure. And look, let's be clear, and we'll get to Derrick Henry because I think you know, Ravens fans want to hear way more about that, but. Look, 3 years, $41 million for Patrick Queen. I think it's clear the market wasn't as hot for him as many anticipated. And sometimes that happens. So I don't think anyone, seriously speaking, should begrudge him for making a business decision on the heels of the Ravens gave Roquan Smith $100 million. And they said to Patrick Queen, we're not picking up your fifth-year option. So he has every right to do that. But from a football standpoint, from a pro wrestling standpoint, Patrick Queen just completed the heel turn. And I think it's funny because I think you go back at the history of the franchise and look, I understand Rod Woodson played for both teams, but Rod Woodson had the 1 year buffer where he was in San Francisco. And let's face it, in 1998, Raven Steelers wasn't Raven Steelers yet. I mean, not even close. It took a few years of Woodson already being
part of
a
them
Raven.
Watching Woodson roll around with our ring kind of, you know,
It was, but my point is, we've never seen a player in his prime like this, a prime talent like this, defect from one to the other directly. So from a rivalry standpoint, and let's face it, we've talked about this a lot. Raven Steelers has lost a lot of steam in recent years. And a big reason why, beyond Ben Roethlisberger and Terrell Suggs and Ray Lewis and Troy Polamalu and all the different names riding off into the sunset, it's been Lamar Jackson not being on the field for, I think he's played in three of the last nine Ravens Steelers games. So the rivalry suffered. There's no question about that. Patrick Queen, who also doesn't shy away from a little bit of trash talk, from an entertainment standpoint, from a journalistic standpoint, I'm all for seeing a Raven become a Steeler or vice versa. So, you know, it's fun in that way. Everyone knew he was leaving. So from a football standpoint, that was anticipated. But his destination certainly raised a few eyebrows. But I think for Ravens fans, where the excitement really lies is the imminent signing of Derrick Henry. And you know, you and I debated it going back to the trade deadline last year. And we debated it even a couple days ago. But Eric DaCosta gets his man. And the Ravens have a legitimate, serious feature back, albeit one who's 30 years old, albeit one who's more expensive than they've been spending, you know, money that they've spent at the running back position in recent years. And you know, we'll see how it turns out. But just the sheer thought of Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in the same backfield, I mean, doesn't, you know, you can't beat that in terms of excitement. There's no question.
All right. So the Derrick Henry thing, you and I went up down the river, and I have been the Lamar hater. But I've been the pro Derrick Henry guy, the pro they need a better running back. And you have been the, they get 6 yards of carry. They can put anybody, they can put you back there, put John Riggins back there, put anybody. I don't think they assessed it that way based on how they spent money. And again, this speaks to me covering the team for 26 years and me sitting here the last 2 years and not knowing exactly what they're thinking, but reading the tea leaves and knowing the personalities, put a lot of thought into this. They put a lot of, what do we really need for Lamar? What, where do we need help for Lamar? And as much as Kevin Zeitler sounded nice, it sounded pricey for them. As much as you and I are concerned about Ronnie Stanley and Morgan Moses, and they should be too, and who's going to play on the offensive line, I think there's the here and now of, hey, it's March. If we're going to get an established back, not Dalvin Cook at the end, not name any of the rest of the names. I mean, pick any of the names that they've rummaged out the last 3 or 4 years, you know. I can't even remember them all. Who was the tall, skinny guy from the Raiders? Well, give me his name. Come on.
Latavius Murray?
Or... Yeah, okay, yeah, there's one. So, I mean, we go through all these other sort of Melvin Gordon, right? I mean, I can't even name them all. None of them played. So, I really played well enough. Derrick Henry to me is different, but to some of the statniks like yourself, that this is this has been panned to some by some. Why would you pan it? Why would anyone pan it, Luke?
I mean, I don't think it's been panned. I think that's a little strong. I mean, look, what you said about some of the names you mentioned, and let's be clear. I mean, Latavius Murray was like their fifth or sixth option that year because they had already lost J.K. Dobbins. They had already lost Gus Edwards. They had already lost Justice Hill before the season even started. So, you know, some of that is
they had a 1, a 2, and a 3. What do they have right now? If they had to go play this week without Derrick Henry, what do they have?
I mean, they have an emphatic one. I mean, look, I've never said I dislike Derrick Henry. I love Derrick Henry. He's been on my fantasy team.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm not being flippant. I'm saying they didn't have a running back and they didn't want to enter the draft and enter the summer with this being their situation. I mean, in a lot of cases, the way they move the football, Luke, it's just as dangerous as running around with Breshad Perriman and who's going to catch the ball. You know what I mean? Like, who's going to run the ball is important here. And it was Dobbins, Dobbins, Dobbins until it wasn't. And it's been a Band-Aid ever since to some degree.
I mean, that Band-Aid ranked first in the league in rushing yards.
Here he goes. Like, here he goes. I knew I'd wind you up today.
Well, look, you want me to ask. And I mean, if you just want me to say I love it, Derrick Henry, Super Bowl.
I don't want you to piece. Say you love it because I know you don't.
Yeah. I don't, but I don't hate it either. Let me be clear about this. I have viewed their running game in the aggregate, right? And with Lamar Jackson being the centripetal force, I mean, to your point, look at the motley crew of running backs that they've had at some points. Now, at other points, let's be clear. Gus Edwards, until last year, had averaged 5 yards a carry every year he was healthy and has been extremely efficient. And I think if nothing else, maybe the fact that the Ravens spent what they spent on Derrick Henry when Gus Edwards went to the Chargers for 2 years, $6.5 million. That might have been an indictment on where they think Gus Edwards is at this point in his career. Because say what you want in terms of Gus Edwards never being a guy that's rushed for 2,000 yards like Derrick Henry did 4 years ago. But from an efficiency standpoint, from a yards per carry standpoint, from a success rate standpoint, Gus Edwards has been as efficient and productive as just about anyone. And again, understanding he hasn't had 250 carry seasons like Derrick Henry, but he's been extraordinarily efficient. So for the Ravens to say, all right, Gus, we love you, but goodbye. And he goes out and rejoins Greg Roman with the Chargers, and the Ravens go and spend not quite three times as much, but close to it on a running back who is of course better. I'm not saying Gus Edwards is as good or better than Derrick Henry. I'm talking in terms of the cost-effective part of this, the idea that anytime you spend on one position, there's a trade-off, and what are you not spending elsewhere? The point I'm making is I'm guessing this is as much about the Ravens not thinking much of what Gus Edwards is going to be in 2024 than, oh my gosh, we need to go get a feature back, because in the aggregate, with multiple backs, even with the injuries they've had, yards per carry ranking the last 5 years, first, fifth, third. Rushing DVOA the last 5 years. First, 12th, which that was the year that they lost all the running backs. And Lamar was hurt at the end of that season. Second, first. A rushing EPA, which is another efficiency metric. First, 11th, second, third. So Eric might say, let's keep it that way. Let's keep it first. Okay. Fine. I mean, sure. But I guess my point is you've been able to be wildly productive spending next to nothing at the position. Is how much better is Derrick Henry going to make you than first in the league in rushing yards is my point. How much better is Derrick Henry going to make you than third in the league in yards per carry? I'll hear it being better, but boy, that's a high bar, right? I mean, if Derrick Henry rushes for 4.5 yards per carry this season, which isn't bad for him whatsoever, but you're spending a lot more to get that production than you did in the past. So that's the point I'm making. And at what cost? And you just mentioned, look, the Ravens have talked about wanting to rebuild their offensive line. That's not an easy thing to do. And if you're going to spend a lot more money on a running back, then that becomes even more challenging to do. So
they have the cockiness about being able to draft young players, though, on the offensive line. They do. Even though it hasn't been successful lately, every year they were losing one for a while. But to your point, they don't have anything to play with right now other than the veteran guys that they have on the bookends, right? Like, and the guard thing is still very much, you don't know if Ben Cleveland can play. I mean, really.
Yeah, well, and let's not overlook Tyler Linderbaum is a Pro Bowl center.
He's great.
I mean, he's the anchor. Great. I mean, he's really the anchor. It's not Ronnie Stanley and Morgan Moses at this point. It's Tyler Linderbaum. I mean,
you talk about playing on the cheap. How about that?
Yeah, right. They have one spot where you're not worried whatsoever. There's no question whatsoever on the offensive line. And that's not to say that Stanley and Moses aren't going to be back, but at the very least, there's questions.
Well, 2 years from now, he's going to be a $12 million, $15 million center.
So again, look, as I just said, I love Derrick Henry, and I'm looking forward to this, and I think it's going to be fun. Do I think this makes the Ravens dramatically better? And that's the big key here, because you're spending dramatically more money at the running back position relative to what you were doing. Do I think this makes them dramatically better? I'll tell you where it matters for me. What's Derrick Henry going to look like in January? He's 30 years old as it is, and this is where I think it's going to be interesting for them, because you have this feature back. I think it's going to be critically important for them over the course of a 17-game season to lighten this guy's workload from where it's been the last few years, with the thought in mind of wanting him to be at his absolute best come January, because nothing has changed on that front from where we were talking about this team a week ago or a month ago, you know, on the heels of losing in the AFC Championship game. Everything they do is judged on January at this point. So, you know, Derrick Henry can come in and rush for 1,500 yards or 5 yards per carry, but how does it change their fate in January? That's ultimately going to decide how successful this move truly is, because there is a trade-off to spending more on a running back when you have needs on the offensive line, when you have needs at edge rusher, when you have needs, you know, with Ronald Darby going off to Jacksonville, you need another corner to back up Marlon Humphrey, who's been injured. So, you know, you go down the list of all the moves they make. And look, I saw a lot of people saying this on social media that what else did you want them to spend on at this point? Well, that, you know, we can't look at this in terms of player A for player B, right? In the same way that we could look at this and say, okay, well, is a $9 million 2024 investment better in Derrick Henry? Is that better than a $15 million investment in Odell Beckham last year? You know, there isn't just one choice, right? I mean, there's lots of.
Well, that was going to be my point. They just took part of that money, and I mean, it's the Lamar tax. I mean, I bet Lamar's in love with this idea. He should be.
It was the Lamar tax last year, though. You know, he wanted Odell Beckham. I mean, that's, you know, the
dude. You give the kid a quarter billion dollars, like, you let him do what he wants. I mean, it's his team now. If he wants a running back, and he's in there saying, I don't want to play with Gus Edwards breaking, you know, being older. I want the king. Bring the king in here. Last year we had Odell Beckham. Bring me the king. You know, like, I do think there's a point here where they soothe Lamar. I mean, come on, dude. I mean, we called it a $13 million tax last year for a washed up wide receiver. Like, I don't think Derrick Henry's washed up, and I do think they look better getting off the bus. And I agree with you 100%. I don't think they have any intention of running him 26 times a game. I don't. But I do think this: if they're in Cleveland in week three and they're up 30-17, he's going to get the ball the last 8 minutes of the game like Gus did, and that's going to be more of his game. They want Lamar to throw the ball, right? I mean, they really do.
Yeah.
Run less and not be the guy running the ball in the last 8 minutes of the game because they can't figure out any other way to do it. Or especially when they get behind by 3 points and wet themselves and he runs right, he runs left, it's razzle dazzle. It's sometimes it's going into the phone booth. I mean, it's worked. But when they get behind, it's different. I think he's here to make sure they don't get behind.
They weren't behind much last year. So, I mean, we'll see.
Fourth and one and a half from the 44-yard line.
Gus Edwards was outstanding in those situations over the last 5 years. I mean, there are even statistics that kind of prove he, at times, has been the absolute best short yardage back in football. So,
well, he ought to help Herbert out in San Diego, right? I mean, and they paid him.
Oh, and again, this is where I go back to, for me, I don't know how much of it is really, oh my gosh, we need to have a dramatically better running back, as much as we're not sure what we saw from Gus Edwards in 2023, how that's going to translate to 2024. And we know he's a couple years removed from his knee injury, which was a really bad knee injury, mind you. And he's, you know, Gus Edwards is going to be 29. So he's not a spring chicken either. So I think a lot of this had to do with their projection on where he was at in his career. And, you know, Derrick Henry, look, he's 30 years old. He has over 2,000 carries in the NFL. I one of my arguments for not being inclined to do this if it costs too much was he's going to start declining at some point. Now, in fairness, I think people that just point to his yards per carry last year being lower are kind of selling short how bad the Tennessee offensive line
was. Yeah, I was
going to
say they were terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was really – so when you look at his yards after contact and things of that nature, he still was among the best backs in football. But he's already an outlier in terms of defying that, right, in terms of defying and fighting off Father Time. For him to be 30 years old, for him to have as many carries under his belt and to still be that productive, that's the worm's going to turn at some point. Now, I am not saying it's going to be this year. And I'm not saying that this move won't work out. And like I said, I love the player, but you're spending markedly more for this running back than you've spent on a running back. You know, even go back, it's been 5 years since they signed Mark Ingram to what? 3 years, $15 million. So even taking into account the growth of the salary cap, you're still spending more, relatively speaking.
I still think they love him getting off the bus in Buffalo in an AFC championship game, maybe, in Kansas City or Cincinnati or whatever, just having a dude. I mean, like, you and I are going to be on the other side. This is going to be a fun season where you've been defecating upon me on the Lamar thing. He's the MVP. And I never said he couldn't be. I just said he can get hurt and he shouldn't be running into linebackers that from the beginning. So they got another guy to keep him from running into linebackers as he gets older and more expensive. And I just sense that you think they spent too much money. And I think you wisely sense that who's going to be blocking for him? Like, who's our left tackle? Who's our right tackle? Who are our guards? What are we doing there? And, you know, and then there's the whole Pat Ricard and, you know, what is their running back situation? Is it just Derrick Henry and we're going to, you know, come 1-10, you know, like there's going to have to be more in their offense. And Keaton Mitchell's not a part of this. And obviously Gus isn't a part of this. Dobbins won't be a part of this. All the names we know, this is where they do go into the draft and get somebody at 60 or at 90. Who's a, dare I say, Ray Rice. I always compare it to Ray Rice because he was the best back they ever really drafted who did all of those things. It would be a compliment, like an Eckler-y kind of guy to go along with Derrick Henry. I think that's probably what they have in their mind's eye.
Well, I mean, keep in mind, Keaton Mitchell's still around. It's just going to be a question of when is he back, right? I mean, he suffered an ACL injury in mid-December. It would be very ambitious to think he's going to be around for September. But he could be back by October or November. That's not unheard of in terms of under a year for an ACL. But certainly week one, you know, even if things are going really well, how the Ravens have generally proceeded, and you look at how they handled Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins a couple years ago, coming back from the ACL. So look, and that's part of this, and that's where I want to be fair about this. I don't hate this move. It's looking at it through the lens of what's the trade-off? What's the opportunity cost here that you're missing out on in terms of adding other pieces or being able to keep Jadeveon Clowney, or you decided you're not keeping Kevin Zeitler, you know, whatever it is. But in fairness, yeah, you look at their current depth chart, and in terms of healthy players, it's Justice Hill. Look, I love Justice Hill as a third down back as a guy that can catch some passes out of the backfield, but as a number one back, of course not. So it was never a question for me, and this is where I want to be clear about this. This was never a question for me that you don't do anything at the position. It's just, what do you spend? How do you spend? Where are you targeting running backs? What skills are you looking for in doing that? And that's where, you know, I might have gone a different route. For example, you know, I'll give you a really simple one. Zach Moss, 2 years, $8 million. I think you look at some of his metrics and how he filled in for Taylor in Indianapolis. And by the way, Zach Moss ran against the Ravens all the way back in week 3. You know, 2 years, $8 million for him. I think that has the potential to be one of the best deals that's signed in free agency. Now we'll see, you know, but the Ravens are certainly getting someone who has a far more impressive pedigree than anyone else that was on the market. There's no doubt about that. Far more productive. He's set to eclipse 10,000 career rushing yards this year. I think he's like 500 yards away. And he's coming off of a very productive season. So, you know, it checks all the boxes. Now,
it is shocking, nonetheless. I mean, to some degree, it's a shocking development that, I mean, look, I kidded around about this the last two trading deadlines, and you threw a wet blanket on it, and they go out and get Roquan Smith and give him a farm, right, a year and a half ago, and instead of getting a running back. That's what they felt like they needed then, and I think they assessed the market better than anybody to look at if a team's going to get rid of a player, if a team has a cap cut coming. They knew Roquan Smith could be available long before he was, and they knew that they were going to act if he was, and they made it happen, right? Like, behind closed doors in the middle of the season, you know, they're astute. And that's why when they make moves like this, despite the Odell Beckham thing last year, that was, I mean, almost on the record to pacify and to lure Lamar Jackson here. You know, things happened sort of bang, bang that week that it happened when we spent 8 months talking about it not happening. This is more, you know, there was rumblings at the trading deadline about this. Mm-hmm. And I told you, and I said, they get him, they're going to win the Super Bowl. Like, no one wants to tackle that guy in the fourth quarter on a cold day. So, and they didn't, but Eric obviously still listens to the show. I mean, I appreciate that. And doesn't take your best advice, but in all sincerity, they put big numbers and big machines and big science and data into this. They love something about Derrick Henry because they went out early, tampering time, paid him more than any of the other run. I mean, they could have had Josh Jacobs. They could have had any of these guys. They could have had any of these guys at that, to your point, at that price, pick your running back. Have the one you want. They picked the one they wanted.
Well, I mean, Saquon Barkley and, you know, some of the guys you mentioned got more money than Derrick Henry. Let's be clear about that. Let's be fair about that. And they are younger, but look, a lot of this, that's why I keep coming back to this. It's not about Derrick Henry. Philosophically, I'm not in the camp of paying running backs. I mean, I'm just not. And I think there's plenty of numbers over the last 5 years that supports that when Lamar Jackson's your quarterback, that you can stick anyone back there and be really productive. Is Derrick Henry a better feature back than any of the guys they've had? Yeah, of course. I mean, he's going to the Hall of Fame. Like, I'm not sitting here being dismissive of him. But when you're spending...
Oh, so
what's
you think
be...
he's going to the Hall of Fame? You do? Okay. I mean,
yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Okay, cool.
I don't think, I mean, he's got a 2,000-yard season. He's going to eclipse 10,000 yards. He's shown longevity in a, now that doesn't mean he's going to be a first ballot guy, right? Necessarily, but
I don't think he's thought like that yet. I think he needs to win some games. You know what I mean? Like, there, listen, Walter Payton never won, right? I mean, you know, Barry Sanders never won.
Till the end of his career.
You know, Adrian Peterson never won, you know, like, they didn't win, you know what I mean? Like, so Emmitt Smith, all he did was win, right? Like, in our faces, the Franco Harrises and those guys. Derrick Henry's one of those guys, like, yeah, I'm Mr. Derrick Henry. I mean, I want to go get the Oiler jersey, even though I thought it was dirty. But I don't think of him in those – I think of him in the Hall of Very Good right now, but I think he still has some work. And that's interesting that he probably thinks he still has work, and he probably, you know – hey, dude, I've been in Tennessee. We haven't had a quarterback. We got a goof for an owner. We had to put on old pajamas from Houston recently. You know, like, he's coming to a place that he's taken seriously, too. This is another part of the Ravens recruiting players, too. And like, he wants to come here. He's coming. He's already rich, you know what I mean? He's here to win. I mean, and I love that part about it because he runs angry. That's fun.
Yeah, and when I say Hall of Fame, he's on that path. Is what I'm saying. I don't think if he quits today that he's a lock or anything like that. I mean, I think that's a different discussion. So yeah, this is a great opportunity for him in that way. But No. At the same time, I'll continue to go back to the passing game over the last decade. That's ultimately what matters most in January, passing the ball and defending the pass. Now, are there exceptions to the rule in certain playoff games with the elements being brutal and raw and things like that? Of course.
What does he do for their offense for the passing game, in your opinion? Does he change anything?
He himself, no, because he's not a guy that has caught many passes out of the backfield, at least last year. And if you look at it, he typically hasn't been a guy that is in pass protection a whole lot as far as like third down situations, especially this past year. And they had a young back in Tennessee, so he came off the field some on third downs. But where he does help is stacking the box, things
play action to me.
Sure.
Him and Lamar, is he getting it or is Lamar getting it?
Sure.
Either one's trouble for you. And if he tucks it and throws it over your head to Mark Andrews in single coverage because you got a bad matchup, hello. Zay Flowers, they have fast weapons. That would be my thought about it. Is I do think in the box, if you've got to tackle Derrick Henry, you got a different situation than trying to catch Keaton Mitchell.
Yeah, sure. But I would also say they're coming from a place where they weren't bad at those things before. They were already really good at all those things. And that's what I'll keep coming back to. The standard here is going to be very high for me, Nestor. If Derrick Henry rushes for 4.3 yards per carry this year, then I'm going to say, okay, weren't the Ravens doing that in the past?
That's why for Odell Beckham to catch 35 passes for $15 million,
well,
right?
You keep
like,
coming.
We knew that going in. We knew going in he wasn't.
Those aren't the only two players in the league, is my point. We could keep talking about that trait.
Signing star players to appease your quarterback and appease the fan base. Are you really doing it to win, or did you do it to sort of put make a nice poster? Looking good coming off the bus. I thought Odell Beckham was definitely that. I think and morale, and he's going to teach wide receivers and all that. This is we're going to kick your ass play. And I like that from a Ravens standpoint. I like this as a compliment to Lamar. I like it a lot.
Okay. Yeah. I don't dislike it. I'm just saying it's an expensive way of going about it at the running back position after years of spending nothing there that you could then spend elsewhere. And I'll
now
come back
to rookie guards,
the offensive line. Now, and I'm glad you brought that up because it's not so much about the rookie thing. It's much more, we also need to understand what kind of runner Derrick Henry is. Because he's so big, people just think about it in terms of the box being stacked and running between the tackles, and he's really big and he's converting third and fourth downs. And look, he does those things. I'm not going to sit here and say he doesn't. But Derrick Henry at his best is running outside zone and having linemen who can get into space and occupy blockers and give him cutback lanes, and he can go nuts. We've seen him do it against the Ravens in the past. I mean, he is a guy that you want to be able to get him to the outside because he's still really, really fast, and that even was proven out last year looking at some of the next-gen stats.
The big
stats
guys
numbers.
Can't catch him, and the small guys can't tackle him. So,
small
he gets
guys
a one-on-one.
In a lot of cases. I mean, that's how fast he is if you can get him to that point. So, with their offensive line, I think I think this is where they're going anyway, and Tyler Linderbaum's a great example of this. Yeah, he can be physical, and I'm not saying he's not a physical player, but Tyler Linderbaum, some of his biggest highlights – of last season and even going back to his rookie year was seeing him blocking downfield, seeing him move on the move. It's going to be imperative for them if they want to maximize Derrick Henry as a runner that they need to get more athletic on their offensive line. Now, easier said than done, right? I mean, and that's where I think it's interesting, even from the standpoint of talking about someone like Ben Cleveland, who I think many of us have viewed with the assumption that he's going to be one of their starting guards. He doesn't really fit that profile. So even there, in terms of what you want to do to optimize what Derrick Henry does as a runner, they still have some work to do on their offensive line. So I don't hate this. I don't love the price, though. I'm not going to shy away from that. And people are going to say I'm hating on it and I don't like Derrick Henry. And that's not true. I love Derrick Henry. But
I didn't hate Odell Beckham. I just thought it was absurd. You know what I mean? Like,
I didn't love that. Let's be clear, though. Like, let's not position this that I was in favor of that. I thought it was crazy to give Odell Beckham $15 million. It was the Lamar tax. I mean, but at the same time, I think a lesson that needs to be learned there, which I'll go back to what I said a few minutes ago. you've got to keep Derrick Henry fresh for January. Odell Beckham, remember, they managed him at times. He was actually, go back and look, he had a really good stretch from what, the second week of November through early December. He was really good for that 4 or 5 game stretch. And then what happened? He wore down and was a non-factor late in the season. So with any move they make, whether we're talking about Derrick Henry, whether we're talking about any pass rushers they're going to sign, any offensive linemen they're going to acquire, anyone they're going to draft, all the incumbents on this team, anyone who's coming back that re-signs with them, you know, like Justin Madubuike, for example, you know, it's all going to be judged on what they do in January. I mean, that's just where they are at this point. You know, for me, I mean, Derrick Henry rushing for a bunch of yards in the regular season, I mean, in the aggregate, they've rushed for a bunch of yards every single year since Lamar's.
I think he's going to help them close games.
So, well, you hope. And I mean, last year they did not have to close games very often. Let's face it. I mean, they had the top point differential and they blew teams out, especially in the second half of the season. And
but then they got behind once and they couldn't get, they fallen and they can't get up against the team that's capable. You know what I mean? Like those 3 weeks in January, to your point, are going to define who they are, and they better get to the third week.
Yeah. But at the same time, if you're behind, you know, you're not running the ball when you're behind, and people will right now are blowing a gasket thinking about the fact that they weren't behind by that much against Kansas City. You know, some of that was panicking and not being very good, and Lamar not being very good, right? I mean, is Derrick Henry the difference in beating the Kansas City Chiefs? Well, now you also have a diminished defense and your offensive line has question marks. And what about wide receiver? You know, is Rashad Bateman going to take a step forward? So they still have other questions, you know. So, you know, is this the last piece for them to become a championship team? You know, they've got other work to do. And that's my point here in terms of giving Derrick Henry what amounts to a 1 year, $9 million contract. And then we'll see in terms of 2025 that absolutely helps the running game. That's the no-brainer statement, but what's the trade-off? You know, what's the opportunity cost here? How much better is your running game going to be? Because again, that's a very high bar. You know, they were first last year. There's nothing higher than first, right? So, you know, so that's where you kind of get
this
into.
This is Eric saying I'd like to stay there.
Okay. But I'll still say that while Lamar Jackson being healthy is still the most pertinent, you know, factor in that being true, because they've proven that they can run the ball with just about anyone at running back as long as Lamar is out there and healthy. So, you know, we'll see. And again, I'll say this much, putting aside the cap, putting aside the salary and all the, you know, questions there. I mean, you have Lamar Jackson, the greatest rushing quarterback in NFL history, and Derrick Henry, who's the best running back of the NFL over the last 7 years, and it's not even close. I mean, that's really fun and exciting. I mean,
it's
it really
is. It's an
all-star
team.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun and exciting. Now, can you ride that to the Super Bowl? You're still going to have to throw the football. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say you're going to turn the clock back. I mean, 2019, and even when they tried to do it a couple years ago, they turned back the clock, or attempted to anyway, in Greg Roman's last year, and we kind of saw how it turned out before, you know, even before Lamar got hurt. You know, so you still have to throw the football. And like I said, Derrick Henry with – putting defenders in the box and play action and things of that nature. Yeah, absolutely going to help. Help immensely on that front. But they've also already been really good doing those kind of things, is my point. So, you know, it just comes down to, for me, how much better is he going to make you relative to the fact that you are spending considerably more on a running back than you have in years. And again, I'll continue to look at it in the aggregate, because ultimately it's not about having a name at running back. You know, it's about how productive you're going to be. And they've been very productive, even without a higher priced running back like Derrick Henry in recent years. So that's a high bar, is my point. I mean, if you're telling me he's worth it, then Derrick Henry should be rushing for 5+ yards a carry next year. And their running game should be 2019 like, which is kind of historic, but you know, we'll see how it plays out. So, and we'll see if he fights off Father Time another year. He's done a heck of a job doing that at this point. I mean, I think back to, what was it, 2021, when he had his foot injury and missed time. And there are a lot of people at that point who figured, okay, this is the end for Derrick Henry. We're going to see him really start falling off a cliff. They've run him into the ground, you know, 300+ carries a year, all of this. And, you know, he bounced back and was still really, really good the last couple of years. So, know, we'll see if he can do it again. The Ravens are certainly confident in betting on him doing it again. I'm not going to say he can't, but at the same time, this move ultimately will be judged in January. So I think it's going to be important for them to, yes, get production out of him and win games, because you have to get to January. But I think it's going to be of the utmost importance for them to keep what will be at that point a running back getting ready to turn 31 and another 200 plus carries under his belt for an outstanding career, to make sure that he's at his best then, because that's how they're all being judged at this point. No one cares about Pro Bowls and MVPs and regular season statistics and even the regular season win-loss record or even the division title. You need to get there. You know, you can't go 7-10 and miss the playoffs, of course, but they're all being judged on what happens in January at this point. I mean, and last year just reiterated that big time. So if Derrick Henry can be at his best come then and help them win games, you know, if it's 24 degrees and snowing or rainy or muddy or whatever the conditions, then it'll be well worth it. It'll easily be worth it. But again, it's a high bar because they've already had an outstanding running game, no matter how anyone wants to complain about who's been running the ball at given times.
This is a tough one for the Nestor Hates DaCosta and the Ravens, because I've been nothing but ebullient in regard to them signing Derrick Henry. Luke Jones can be found out in Owings Mills. He can be found on the interwebs. He will be found in Sarasota next week as well, and down in Florida for the NFL owners meetings. Follow everything we're doing at Baltimore Positive. Got some fun stuff happening for our 25th anniversary in conjunction with opening day a couple of weeks from now. Been talking a lot of baseball. We're going to get a lot of football free agency in here this week. Luke's got you covered on the WNST tech service for anything that still happens. At some point, they're out of money, right, Luke? I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. 70 Towson Baltimore. Keep you abreast of all things football and baseball and Baltimore Positive.